hello there, any and all listeners that happen to be tuning into this particular podcast. If you don't know it, my name is Connor Charlton. This is what I called initially, it was the worst ever reading of Ulysses, and then it became the day job. And it was going to be me attempting to read Ulysses and trying to figure out what exactly was being said, and give my own analysis on it without immediately jumping to critics and philosophers, historians, all the rest of it to try and get what was going on. And then I sort of changed the day job. The plan was to get interviews done with different creators, talking about their lives, sometimes talking about their day job when they weren't creating, and what they want to do with life, and just having fun, have a little chat. And of course, in the middle of it, I also did the worst ever reading of Macbeth. And like anything in life I seem to put my hand to, I get distracted. I'm always chasing that butterfly, and not necessarily finishing the things I start off trying to do. Meanwhile, over the last, say, almost 2 years, I've been paying roughly about £9 a month to Audioboom, a subscription service for hosting my podcast, which, as you can probably agree, is probably a bit of a waste of money, but thankfully I have to write off tax anyway, so I count that as a business expense, because in some ways it's maybe be somehow boosting my profile as a writer, an actor, and voiceover artist. But I am doing something very quick today. It's going to be like a 5 to 10 minute thing, hopefully at the top, so we'll have to look it up. Because Ulysses is almost 100 years old, it's coming up the anniversary. I'm not going to be doing Ulysses this week, but I'm going to be doing a few things that are a little bit quicker. They are some of the filthy love letters that James Joyce wrote to his wife. You can get these on allthatsinteresting.com. So you can just Google these and you'll find some of these pretty quickly. So let's leave with the first one, because this is just unbelievable. Now James was a small man, but he had a big, was he small? I think James Joyce, I think he was small. I do remember there's a story about, yes, yeah, okay, he's 5'10". That's not small, especially for the era. It was actually probably quite tall. I thought he'd quite diminutive, and he hung about with Ernest Hemingway. He was a big lad, and he used to, almost wind Ernest Hemingway up. So Ernest Hemingway getting bar fights, and James Joyce would sit behind and watch the chaos unfold of this man who's determined to prove his masculinity at every point. Which, of course, maybe because Hemingway was almost forced by his mother to become a girl. She kept trying to dress him up as a girl and treat him like a girl, and so he had a bit of a masculinity complex. Probably a more earned masculinity complex than almost anybody I know who has a masculinity complex has. Let's go. Anyway, let's hear the first one. This is just cracks me up. You had an arse full of farts that night, darling, and I fucked them out of you. Big, fat fellows. Long, windy ones. Quick little merry cracks, and a lot of tiny little naughty farties ending in a long gush from your hole. It is wonderful to fuck a farting woman when every fuck drives on out of her. I think I would know Nora's fart anywhere. I think I could pick hers out in a room full of farting women. It's a rather girlish noise, not like the wet, windy fart which I imagine fat wives have. It is sudden and dry and dirty, like what a bold girl would let off in a fun in a school dormitory that night. I hope Nora will let off no end of her farts in my face, so that I may know her smell also. Does that one get you steamy? Does that one really get the old motor going? Whether you're male or female, or any other kind of beautiful creature. Today I stopped short, often in the street, with exclamation whenever I thought of the letters I wrote you last night and the night before. They must read awful in the cold light of day. Perhaps their coarseness has disgusted you. I suppose the wild filth and obscenity of my reply went beyond all bounds of modesty. He had a bit of a shit with the wife. He met her on the streets of Dublin in 1904, and just, you know, apparently that was that, you know, smitten from there on in. You know, he had poor eyesight. He said, "I may be blind. I looked for a long time at a head of reddish brown hair and decided it was not yours. I went home quite dejected. I would like to make an appointment if you've not forgotten me." So he invited her out again for a walk around Ringsend, and then described later in a letter, "It was you yourself, you naughty, shameless girl, who first led the way. It was not I who first touched you long ago down at Ringsend. It was you who slid your hand down inside my trousers and pulled my shirt softly aside and touched my prick with your long, tickling fingers, and gradually took it all, fat and stiff as it was, into your hand and frigged me slowly until I came off through your fingers, all the time bending over me and gazing at me out of your quiet, saint-like eyes." That sounds a good bit of fun, that, doesn't it? You know, I didn't think premarital hand jobs in Dublin were a thing back then, but maybe I think what was expected of someone and what actually happened were maybe two different things. So they went off to Trieste in what was Austria-Hungary at the time, and then sort of Joyce thing, he did a little bit of travelling and stuff with the writing, we sent her letters, you know. "As you know, dearest, I never use obscene phrases in speaking. You've never heard me, have you, utter an unfit word before others. When men tell in my presence, hear filthy or lecherous stories, I hardly smile. Yet you seem to turn me into a beast." So these give him a bit of a glance. Obviously with the farts, you know, there's sort of already that sort of hint of scatological stuff. "My sweet little whorish Nora, I did as you told me, you dirty little girl, and pulled myself off twice when I read your letter. I am delighted to see that you do like being fucked arseways." And this, the sort of letters go on and make it even more obvious about this particular caper. "Fuck me if you can, squatting in the closet with your clothes up, grunting like a young sow doing her dung, and a big, fat, dirty, snaking thing coming slowly out of your backside. Fuck me on the stairs in the dark, like a nursery maid fucking her soldier, unbuttoning his trousers gently, slipping her hand in his fly, and fiddling with his shirt, and feeling it getting wet, and then pulling it gently up, and fiddling with his two bursting balls, and at last, pulling out boldly the Mickey she loves to handle, and free it for him softly, murmuring in his ear dirty words and dirty stories that other girls told her, and dirty things she said, and all the time pissing her drawers with pleasure and letting off soft, warm, quiet little farts." It just gets dirtier. I find it kind of fascinating that, this was predating Liddy Chatterley's Lover, which I think was the first printed instance, the word fuck, or kind of, before it was, I don't know, I wouldn't say common parlance, but it probably was common parlance already, but maybe just, a word that was so obscene that you just didn't say. So it's kind of, there's mirth in that. This feels very Fifty Shades here, isn't it? But 50 Shades of Joyce. I remember saying that because there was about three people told me last night at the Jimmy Dornan look, the old Poundland Jimmy Dornan, Wish.com Chris Hemsworth. "You say when I go back you will suck me off and you won't be like your cunt, little depraved blackguard." I'm gonna do one or two more of these because, it's crazy how these are even printed. I mean, apparently they were eventually sold by James Joyce's brother, Stanislaus, his widow, Cornell University. So it's the only reason we know them. But who knows if there's another box in them or somewhere in between pages. Good night, my little farting Nora, my dear little fuckbird. There is one lovely word, darling, you've underlined to make me pull myself off better. Write me more about that and yourself. Sweetly. Dirtier. Dirtier. So let me see what I'm saying. Letters we do here aren't just a titillating glance at Joyce's sex life. Tim's other letters, his life, they give an idea of personal changes he was going through, you know, dealing with marital difficulties, you know, poor financial position. He died in 1941, age 58. Yeah, I think we covered all those. Yeah, let me just look. Any more of these? Any more of your dirty stories, James Joyce? I mean, it's been an interesting time period at the minute because we've got you know, this great guy Nick. He's had Mick Lynch, so he is an English fella, but he's head of the transport union strikes, and he's just shutting down Tories and just, you know, centre leaning Labourites and the press, but he's called James Connolly, another Dublin hero, his hero. Let me see. Erotic letters, James Joyce. 13 NSFW lines from James Joyce. Incredibly dirty love letters. Like a hog riding a sow. You know what? I think that is enough for now. I am going to save that one for another time, or let you look it up yourself. That's enough for me for now. Have fun. Take care.